Welcome to church. Did you have a good week? Awesome. Well, you look amazing. You look strong and healthy in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're starting a new series. Welcome to everybody. It's your first time. Welcome, welcome. You've been here before. Beautiful girl. So we're starting a new series. How exciting, on the Holy Spirit. A whole month. There's 5 Sundays in March. There's 5 opportunities to teach and preach about the Holy Spirit. Who's excited about that? I am. I love the Holy Spirit. It's His presence manifest. Jesus' presence manifest here on earth. It is Jesus Himself. That's the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. So my series is called On Tour with the Holy Spirit. Say that after me. On Tour with the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that we would all go on a new tour with the Holy Spirit, maybe a fresh tour. We've been on a journey with Him, I know that, but let's go deeper, you know, into the, I distinctly saw that path, that the Lord wants us to trust Him to go deeper. It was almost like a big forest, and you've got the main path there, but then He wants to take us off to the side to have real intimacy with us. So this next month, let's make our focus on the Holy Spirit. A couple of things we've done there is that we want to make a playlist for you of all songs that pertain to this series, and we're going to be making that available. Paul's going to put that together. Thank you, Paul. He's going to put together a whole bunch of songs, a playlist about the Holy Spirit, so that we can really go deeper into this. And what I would like to suggest also is that we'll put up the main scripture for each week so that we can meditate on one scripture, just one, all week. The main scripture each week, there'll be a different aspect of the Holy Spirit. And so if I you know, you get what you focus on. And so as we focus on the Holy Spirit, I believe that you're going to have revelation. I believe you're going to have encounter. I believe that God is going to really speak to you clearly in this next month. And as you hunger to hear Him, He will speak to you. And that is what the Holy Spirit is for, that you could have God with you all the time. Isn't it amazing? So some things about the Holy Spirit, it just blows my mind that right at the beginning we see the third person of the Godhead with the others in Genesis 1, verse 26. The Word of God says, let us make man in our image. Oh, I'm in the way. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. How incredible is that? Let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Godhead. God is not a He, He's an us, right? He's in us. Let us make mankind in our image. Isn't that incredible? You are made in the image of God. Think about that. You're made in the image of God. Let us make them like us. That blows my mind. So that they may rule. So that they may be the head, not the tail. So that they may rule over everything that I've provided for them. You are His children. Amen. A child sort of looks like their parent. We look like God. Isn't that amazing? So He's there at the beginning, let us. You see that there's a Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you think about the Holy Trinity, it's kind of like it blows your mind. Like, how do you explain to somebody the Trinity? It's quite hard. But if you think about it like an architect would be the designer, and then you have a foreman who's like the boss of the job, right? And then you have the workers. That's like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or an apple, perhaps. You have the skin, you have the flesh, and you have the core. All part of the apple. All part of the same fruit. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know it's not great. It's just an apple. But I know it's not a great analogy, but it's the best I can do. Or water. Like steam. Steam, water, and ice are all the same liquid. It's all the same thing. It's the same God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. John 16 is our main scripture today. I want to pick it up in verse 7 to 15. John 16, verse 7 to 15. But very truly I tell you, for it is your good that I'm going away. This is Jesus talking. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. How cool is that? All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. I know. All that belongs to the Father is mine. Isn't that incredible? All that it belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from what he will make, what the Spirit will receive from me, what he will make known to you. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit? He's getting stuff from Jesus, and then he's making it known to you. How cool is that? He's only going to get stuff from Jesus and the Father. The Father and Jesus are together. Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of the Father. They're together, but the Holy Spirit's here with us. He's taking. That means the Holy Spirit's going back up to heaven. He's coming down. It's all one thing if you ask me. It's just heaven, right? Heaven and earth meet where Jesus is. So the Holy Spirit is making things known to you. He's making the will of God known to you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you can just praise about that if you want. You can just shout out, say hallelujah. I don't know. You can say praise God. I mean, I think it deserves a shout. Yes. Yes, Jazzy. Chair climbing is acceptable in this church. Chair climbing. I love it. So some things about the Holy Spirit. Number one, he is a convictor. In that scripture, he says that he is the one that convicts the world of sin. So that's not our job. Let's focus on what's our job, what's his job. Amen. So when we're out in the park, we're not out there to convict people. Right? That's the Holy Spirit's job. I don't know about you, but when I came to Christ, I mean, I didn't know I was a sinner until the Holy Spirit showed me. I had no idea. I thought I was actually a gold champion party animal, and I was going to get a reward for that. I mean, I was giving it my best shot. I'm saying, like, if I'm going to do this, Jason, I'm doing it well, right? I'm going to be the best at it. I'm passionate, all in. I mean, I didn't know there was anything wrong with it until I started getting convicted. And that's the Holy Spirit was working in my life. Started to feel bad about myself and bad about stuff. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, amen? He's a convictor. He shows you, it's incredible, he shows you your need for Jesus, your need for repentance. He's the only one that can show you your need for repentance and for forgiveness. We were dead in our sin. And when the Holy Spirit came, he made us alive in Christ. We got born again. Nobody can see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Your spirit got regenerated, born again. It got set free from the sin that was holding you down. You were captive by sin. You couldn't see God. You couldn't understand God. You were like, oh, those people that keep preaching God, like, what are they on about? I mean, you just didn't make sense of it until the Holy Spirit helped you see your need for forgiveness and sin. Amen? We cannot understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. I remember that. I remember my well-intended friend sending me some scripture in the post back in 1995 when you used to send letters and put stamps on them. She sent me a letter from New York to Australia saying she put a scripture in there. And it was Proverbs 9, verse 10. And it said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." That was the most confusing thing I had ever read in my entire life. I was just perplexed. I did not understand that. In fact, it confused me so much. I have no idea what she's talking about. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Because the Holy Spirit was just beginning to work on me at that point. You know, it wasn't until I got born again that I understood that scripture. And so the Holy Spirit was the illumination on the Word of God that I needed to see. You can't understand God unless you have God on the inside of you. Amen. And that is the born again regenerative spirit. And your Bible reading is completely, completely reliant on the power of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. When you're reading the Bible and you go, something jumps in your heart. It's like illuminated. That's the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention, saying, yeah, read that again. Read that again. Dwell on that. Dwell on the Word of God. Get the Word of God, because Jesus is the Word. We talked about that. And now the Holy Spirit is illuminating, always glorifying Jesus to us. Amen. So he's the convictor. Number two, he indwells in us. Indwells in us. We are his temple. Isn't that incredible? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He needs somewhere to reside. Spirits need somewhere to go. Oh, they're just roaming around. They like to indwell. I mean, the wrong type like to indwell. And the Holy Spirit likes to indwell inside of you. And the more Holy Spirit you have, then the more the bad stuff gets pushed out. Amen? And that's why you speak in tongues. You speak in the power of the Holy Ghost, and your spirit man gets strong and your flesh gets weak. And then downloads, revelation, they come quickly. They flow like a waterfall of revelation. When you're always strong in the spirit, every day you're praying in tongues, then revelation and truth and guidance will come easy. You don't have to go searching too far. You're like trying to catch up. I feel sometimes I'm trying to catch up to the tour leader. See, Jesus is the tour leader. He's taking us on tour. The Holy Spirit's there taking us on this journey, you know, and we follow him. We're followers, we're not leading him, we're following him. Amen. So he indwells in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Am I in the way if I stand here, or is this good? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." It's amazing. You've got to look after this vessel. You've got to take care of it. You've got to maintain it. It's like a car. You know, you can't just buy a car and never service it. You've got to look after this body. You've got to put water in it. You've got to put the right food in it. You've got to maintain it, because if this is God's vessel, God's body, but his Holy Spirit's going to indwell in me, and I'm his little unit here, right? This is a small unit right here. But Dave's a big unit, you know? He's got more Holy Ghost in him. But no, that's not even scriptural. Don't even take that. Wipe that from the record. Where was I going? I lost myself. You've got to look after your temple. Look after your temple. Make sure there's no bad thoughts going on. Maybe no rubbish coming in. Are you going to rubbish your temple with lies, with bad thoughts, with jealousy, with anger, with dissension? All this stuff comes to pollute your temple. We've got to make sure, we've got to guard, we were talking about boundaries last week. We've got boundaries on our temple. That's why God says, make sure you take care of your temple. It's where the Holy Spirit lives. Amen? I remember, you know, like when I got born again, I felt so clean. So clean. Like, I was a serious sinner. a serial sinner and a serious sinner. Serious. A lot of sin in this temple. When I met Jesus, I got washed clean in a millisecond. Everything that polluted my body before, thoughts, sin, anything, it was washed clean. Like a brand new clean slate, fresh page. And I felt so clean. I was like, oh, that's the power of the Holy Spirit to regenerate a life. Isn't that incredible? And he can do that to the worst of lives. That's the power of him indwelling in us. He is holy. Amen. He is the Holy Spirit. Number three, he is holy. He helps make us holy. I didn't make myself holy in that moment. Jesus makes us holy through what he did on the cross. The Holy Spirit makes us holy. He helps make us even holier as we go on. There's a lifelong process of transformation, moral transformation, that's called sanctification. You know, you are sanctified by the Spirit. Nobody can get better in their own terms. Nobody can be more holy. Nobody can be a better Christian in their own strength. You need the Holy Spirit, his power to sanctify, to make you more like Christ. The job of sanctification is to make you more like Christ. We're on a journey to be more like Christ all the time. And we have attitudes that need to be dealt with. We have stuff that comes out. I mean, some stuff comes out of my mouth that shocks me. I'm like, Nicola, that's not good. You need to pay some attention to that thing that's risen up there. You know, there's selfish ambition, there's jealousy, all this stuff that we battle with. But we don't give up because the Holy Spirit's got us on a journey of sanctification. He's not calling us to be perfect. He's just calling us to be hungry in the pursuit of being more like Christ. Amen. So sanctification is a gift and it'll never stop. We'll never stop growing. We'll have our L plates, like I said, not for loser, but for learner. We'll have our L plates on for the rest of our lives. We're always learning, always getting better, right? So you never give up. Even if you fail, even if you have the most massive failure, you don't have to give up. You can just get up again and say, oh, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need more sanctification. I obviously need you to guide me so that I don't keep doing this thing. You can break the power of addiction with the power of the Holy Spirit. You can break the power of a bad habit with the power of the Holy Spirit. There ain't nothing in this world, ain't nothing in your life that can't be broken and stopped and redeemed because of the power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives inside of you, indwells in you to bring that sanctification process to completion. Amen. And we won't yet complete until we actually meet Jesus face to face. But I tell you what, I'm going to give it my best shot while I'm here on earth to be more like Jesus so that I can affect more people on this earth, so that I can actually, you know, bring people into a heavenly place and have them have hope and snatch their soul out of the devil's hand and bring them into the glorious light that God has called us to do. We are all his soldiers, full of his. Look at around in this room, all the temples of the Holy Spirit here. How cool is that? We're all temples. Amen. When we go out to the park, we're all temples. You carry the light. You carry the light of the world, light of Jesus. Amen. Paul was such a amazing apostle, but it took like this encounter with Jesus for him to completely sanctify his life and be a powerful witness. And, you know, we know the story of Paul on his horse traveling through, and Jesus knocked him off the horse and made him blind. And then, you know, he had to go to Cornelius and get redeemed to be able to see again. But Paul is a recipient of grace. He has got the most, if anyone in the Bible I look, I go, who's got the most grace on them? I see the Apostle Paul, I think. He's out there killing Christians, coming up against them saying, you know, they're the worst thing. And he's killing Christians, and then God comes and has an encounter with him, knocks him off his horse, and then makes him the greatest messenger of the Bible. Oh, It blows my mind. And people didn't trust Paul because they're like, you're that guy that kissed Christians. Oh, no, I think you're in here. Get away. And he had this power on him. How did they start to trust him? Because he carried this presence on him. He had the Holy Ghost on him. And wherever he went, there was revival. The Apostle Paul, so you can imagine like a triangle. And at the top of that triangle is grace. And then at the right-hand corner is Paul. And then on the other side of the triangle is somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And so the grace had to come and hit Paul. And then Paul gets the grace of God and goes out into mission and goes and tells somebody else. And then they get the grace on them. And then it just goes round and round and round. And the grace, it has to be by grace. Grace is an empowerment. And to be empowered means the grace is on me. We never judge. We don't judge anybody. Or we might be judged. But we go with grace on our lives, with the message of Jesus. Amen? With the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. There's a story in Acts 16:14 where this is actually seen with Lydia. And it says that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's preaching. So only the Holy Spirit can open a heart to respond to your preaching. Isn't that amazing? So God is, he knows the ones. He says, I know the ones I've given you to Jesus. Jesus knows the ones that has been given to him. You know, we won't go into that because it's just, that's a whole different preach. But God knows the hearts that are ripe, ready to hear. He knows, Lord, I pray, send us to those ones. Send us to the ones who are ready to hear, the ones that you've graced, ready to hear our message. Amen. Number four, the Holy Spirit gives us power to serve Christ. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. It says that the Holy Spirit is a witness, as we are. The Holy Spirit witnessed things in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit was there doing all that stuff. He is a witness. He makes us a witness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it calls us ambassadors of Jesus Christ. It says that you are now ambassadors of Jesus Christ, as though God were making his appeal through you. Isn't that wild? God is making his appeal through you. The Holy Spirit's working through you into others all the time. That blows my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says that everybody has a gift. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So that everybody has a gift of the Spirit. When I said, I wanted you to receive, you have to acknowledge and receive that you have a gift from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to be preaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's a whole preach. We're going to maybe do that next week. But there are so many gifts. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're mentioned in the Word of God. And it's up to us to locate what our gift is and then use it for service. But we can't use it for service unless the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has a gift. People go, well, what's my gift? It's actually what you do naturally. And here's the tricky thing. You don't think it's a gift because it comes naturally. So you don't think it's a gift. You're like, but no, I just do that naturally. I mean, Laurie over here, she's like, she's so creative, amazing. She's like, no, that's not a gift. I just do that. It's a gift. Like, not everybody's creative. And not everybody can take photographs like Sarah Brown. Not everybody has the eye for that. It's a gift. And so it's just recognizing that it's not you. You didn't make it happen. God gave you a gift. So it's recognizing what that is and then using it. We'll go deeper into that next week. And everybody say, I have a gift. You do have a gift. Everybody has a gift. I could go around this room and tell you all your gifts, but I won't. You're like, yeah, do that. No. Number six, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's job, number one job, to magnify, exalt, and glorify Jesus. That's his main job. He loves it. John 16, verse 14. John 16, verse 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, to help you and be with you forever. Is that the one? No, that's not the one. But it says, there it is. Ha, thank you. Fletch, you're a legend. Give Fletch a round of applause for helping with screens. Amazing. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. That's the Holy Spirit going, thank you, Jesus. I glorify you because I'm taking from what you've got and I'm making it known to them. How cool is that? He glorifies Jesus, magnifies and exalts the name of Jesus. It's funny, though, that the Holy Spirit is a person, right? And I've heard some people call Holy Spirit different things, but Holy Spirit is holy. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our advocate. And yet, he's probably the most ignored person of the Godhead in church. And there's churches all across the world that won't acknowledge him, that won't give him the right place of actually calling him God. And I don't want to be that church. I want to be a church that is sensitive to his presence, sensitive for when he moves, sensitive when he tells us things, sensitive to follow him. I want to acknowledge today that the Holy Spirit is here and he loves you and he can just sit right next to you there. He's sometimes, you know, I'm praying for people and I actually literally feel a person. I feel the person of the Holy Spirit right there and I've got to get out of the way. Because he wants to lay hands on you. And that happens to me so many times, I can't even tell you. And when I'm praying for people here, I'm like, Holy Spirit, where are you? Because if I don't know where he is, then I don't know how to follow. And I'm not out there doing something in my strength. I need him. And so sometimes I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes I just go and step back. Because he wants to minister to that person. He's got what he needs to administer. And I just get out of the way. But then sometimes on the opposite end, he's asking me to do something physical so that he can move through that person. Sometimes it's touching them on the head, laying hands. Sometimes I can just do that. And I'm like splashing water on somebody. Because the Holy Spirit is like water. He's like a dove. He's like fire. He's like all these things, but he's just like that. It's not a person, the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, I could say, you know, I could say Sarah Brown is like a tall, wise tree. But she's not a tall, what? She's not a tree, is she? She's a person. Do you know where I'm coming from? But people say, the Holy Spirit's like fire, but he's not fire. But he's like water, but he's not water. He's a person. He's a person of the Godhead. But he's like particular things. That's just like saying that, right? I mean, this is incredible to me that I'm going to jump to this scripture, Fletch, if you'll come with me, to John 14, verse 15 to 18. And Jesus says this, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Some say counselor, advocate counselor, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's incredible to me. Is my microphone going weird? Or is that just me? If you love me, you'll obey me what I command. And if I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another counselor. Now, that word, another counselor, I want to talk about. The word in the Greek, another. It's mentioned a few times in the New Testament there. But there's two versions. Is that weird? No, it's just me. Keep going, says Stephen Brown. Another counselor. So the word another, there's two Greek words that describe that. One's heteros and the other is allos. Now, if I was to say to you, here's an apple, Phil Jagger. Oh, no, I should never choose him as a volunteer. Nicola, retrace your steps quickly. Will you be well behaved? No. No, you won't. No, you don't have to come out. But if I was to say to Phil Jagger, would you like an apple? He says, yes, I'd love that apple. Thank you, Pastor Nick. So I give him the apple and he eats it and he goes, yum, yum, that was awesome. I say to him, would you like another? And he says, yes, because the first one was so good, I would like another. So I'm saying to him, would you like another? And then the word heteros is the same, but a different kind. So I go, well, I've got an apple, Phil, but I've got banana. It's still fruit. Here you go. Right, he wants it now, right? And I go, so I'm going to give him a piece of fruit. It's the same, but of a different kind. Okay? But if I was to say, okay, here's another, exactly the same, that word is allos. Now, when in this scripture, Jesus is saying, I will give you another counselor, it's the word allos. Jesus is saying, I am giving you another exactly the same as me. How good is that? That is what that word means in the scripture. So he's not giving us another that's different. The Holy Spirit's not different to Jesus. Jesus is the apple, you know. He's exactly the same. The Holy Spirit is the same kind. I just think that's wonderful. And counselor, helper, counselor. The Greek word for that is parakletos. Para, we get the word, you know, lawyer from para. Para means to plead one's case. Para means very close. It means to advocate. And kelio means to call. So parakletos, in the word that I'm going to give you another counselor, I'm going to give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit is permanently called alongside us. That's what you do when you get those two words together, to advocate, to help, and to be very close. It means that the Holy Spirit is permanently called alongside us. It means we have him all the time advocating for us. Isn't that incredible? Counseling for us, taking what from God, what it is. You know, you can resist the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can sin against the Holy Spirit. And you can even make him angry. Isn't that amazing? He's a person. So he feels these things. He feels whether you're allowing him into your life or whether you're resisting him. He's called the Holy Spirit 96 times in the Bible. He's called the Spirit of the Lord 28 times in the Bible. He's called the Spirit of God 26 times in the Bible. He's called Eternal Spirit, Helper, Comforter, the Holy One, the Lord, Spirit of Truth, Spirit of the Holy One, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of judgment, the Spirit of burning, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of prophecy, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of a sound mind, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of the Holy God. That's his name. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit. How much more us? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was taught by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He only did miracles by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He only said what he heard from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit deserves to be praised. The Holy Spirit deserves to be acknowledged in every church service we have. Amen. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge that you are the third person of the Godhead. We thank you that you are holy. God, that we thank you that you make us holy, that you sanctify us, that you fill us. You have to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's just like Jesus. He has given you gifts to use. He is coming to you today to say, I love you. I take what from the Father I hear, and I tell you what I hear from him, and it is that I love you, that you are in my grace, that I am sending you out on this great mission, but I love you. I will take care of your needs. The Holy Spirit is right there anytime you need him. Amen. Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit. Jesus did nothing without the Holy Spirit. And he said, it's better if I go. It's better that I go so Holy Spirit can come. Amen. Can I get some keys up? Awesome. So hopefully I've brought our attention front and center to Holy Spirit today. And I want to pray that this coming month we have incredible encounters with Holy Spirit, that we ask Holy Spirit for the truth, because he's a spirit of truth, the spirit of truth. So we thank you, Father, right now, your Holy Spirit, to help us, God, even today when we're in the park. Help us, Holy Spirit, see the ripe fruit that are willing to hear your voice, that need prayer, that just need somebody loving to come up beside them like you came up beside us. So we thank you, Lord, that you fill us fresh today. And if there's anybody here today and you have never invited Jesus to come into your life, if you're watching online, if you've never invited Jesus to come into your life, there's an opportunity right now to say yes, so that you can go on tour with the Holy Spirit. And so right across this room now, if you would like to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, all you need to do is say yes. Say yes to God. It's going to be the greatest adventure you could ever go on by saying yes to God. But it's your decision. Nobody's forcing you. He's a guide. He can guide you through life if you would just say yes to him. And so right across this room, with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, this is a moment with God. This is your moment. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit will just nudge you to say yes today. If you're here today and you say, yes, that's me, I just want you to raise your hand right now and say, yes, I want to invite Jesus to come into my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation and let the Spirit of God come into your life. The Spirit of the Holy God can come inside your heart today, inside your life today, and he can live in you. In Jesus' name, anybody here, just raise your hand now and say, that's me. I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. Is that you? Just raise your hand and say, yep, that's me. Amen. All right, church. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. He's knock, knock, knocking at your door. All you got to do is just let him in. Say this after me, church. Say, dear Jesus, I let you in. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for all my mistakes and make me clean on the inside. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.